Hello, beloved. This is Pastor Steve Castle. I'm so honored that you've chosen to listen to us today. If there's any additional information that you need, please visit our website at www.belovedchurchillinois.com. We thank you that you are continuing to give God an opportunity to minister to your hearts. He has amazing, wonderful plans for your life. We would love to join you on the journey of you finding out the depths of the relationship that you could have with Him. You were created in His image for a beautiful purpose, and He wants to show you that purpose. We continue to believe God with you and for you to accomplish that goal. If you're in the area, please stop by. Remember, at Beloved Church, this is the place where you are greatly loved. God bless you. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
We're getting into a series this morning. We're birthing a series that I've been working on for over 3 years. I got notes. I've got pages and pages and pages of notes for this. And I am declaring to you right here on like the get-go that this is going to be probably the best series I've ever done in my entire life. The reason I'm saying that is not so you start ranking my series. It's because I'm letting you know that right here we're birthing something that I really think is going to be one of the most important things that everybody in this room and a bunch of people that are not in this room need to have in your hearts. So I'd like for you I want to say something, but I don't want anybody to hear the opposite. Praise you, Jesus. If you determine to be committed to this series, to be here for this series, the Lord has a promise that these promises will be manifested in your life. Okay, I'm not saying if you're not at church, you're going to be cursed. Because I know that's... It's so hard to just say things because people are always quick to... So don't be those people so I can just say stuff. Don't put words in my mouth. The Lord has, the reason it's taken me 3 years to get this is because the Lord wanted, I don't know if you've noticed, but awesome things are happening, beloved. Yes. Amen. We are about double the size we were this time last year. Amen. That's not me. People aren't being attracted to me. If you had noticed, I'm not that attractive. Thank you, Clark. Clark agrees. When I want the church to agree with me on stuff, that's like, oh yeah, amen, Pastor. I'm the righteousness of Christ Jesus. Ah, liar. Yeah, you're ugly. Amen. Praise God. It's not of my doing. It's not because Ryan's the most awesome worship pastor in the world. It's not because Dennis knows how to teach on wealth the best of anybody ever. It's not because my messages are just, you know, smoke you, knock you down, awesome. It's the grace of God. It's the anointing of God. In my flesh, there is no good thing. When I'm up here and I'm ministering to you, and I really want you to hear this is not Steve Castle. If you understand that the Lord Jesus Christ has anointed me in this time, in this moment, then you'll take the Steve off of it, you'll hear the Jesus part, and it'll change your life. Or you can stand there and think, ah, Steve this, ah, Steve that, and then you can get offended, and you can reject it, you can dishonor Jesus, because that's what you do. Amen. When you go home and you tell your kids or your grandkids or your spouse or something about how irritated you are about the message. You know you've just dishonored the Lord Jesus Christ. And for those of you with kids, when you go home and you complain about me or something kingdom-wise, you are raising your children to dishonor authority, to dishonor the solution to the planet, which is the church. And then you wonder why we got kids killing cops and cussing out teachers, and you've taught them how to do it by doing it to your pastor. It got so quiet I can hear the air conditioner. I know it's nobody in here. It's the people that aren't at the service tonight. But if you will receive these things as if they're from the Lord, and I know you got to exercise a lot of faith because you see me. But you got to do this every morning when you wake up and you look in the mirror and you see you, and you got to say, there's more to that than the reflection of my face. There's Christ in me, the hope of glory. The Holy Spirit is in me. The resurrection power of God is in me. If you can't do it in the mirror with you, you obviously can't do it sitting there looking at me. So get past me. It's taken me half a lifetime to get past me. You need to get past me. Amen. Thank you for that, amen. The Lord's done it again. He's filled a room with people I love. This is Sunday. This is the first day of the week. If this is how you start your week, do you realize how easy it is to have expectancy and hope for the week? You know, that's one of the reasons, that's one of the most important reasons that we should gather together on Sunday morning. Every one of us, all the time. If you offer the first fruits of your week to the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what the benefit, what the blessing is to that. If the first fruits be holy, it says in Romans, then the rest of the lump is holy. I know a bunch of folks got fought by the enemy to get here today. Some of y'all won, some folks didn't. You know what the benefit is? You got to really understand that we're not just playing church here. We're building the kingdom. You are his hands, you are his feet, you are his body. It's good to be connected. Did anybody last week listen to both parts of this? Did anybody last week get the CD that I handed out from Keith Moore on giving? And did you listen to any of it?
Yes.
Who? Anybody?
Yes.
Mary.
Yes.
Was it good?
Yes.
I have four more that I would like to offer to people. Now listen, don't take them if you ain't going to listen. Because I just said, who listened to it? Nobody listened to it. Okay, I'm sorry. You're right. I apologize. Mary listened to it. So one out of seven or eight, I don't remember. All right, I want you to, now listen, Peter, Pam, anybody else? Clark and Dennis. Peter, Pam, Clark and Dennis. Peter, Pam. Now listen, I'm handing this out because there's so many wrong things with money in the body of Christ. And this is Keith Moore went through hundreds of scriptures. Hundreds. Sir? They're MP3. They're MP3. There's 14 messages on there. If you have a car built after 2008, most likely it's got an MP3 player in it. If not, you can put it in any computer. It'll play no problem. He took hundreds of scriptures and went through and fixed a bunch of stuff with money. And you really need to get it. Because we don't really realize how religious and how broken we are when it comes to money. This is why a lot of people get offended when you talk about money, is because you got bad doctrine. Got bad beliefs and bad doctrine. And this is one of the most incredible. And listen, I've been doing this for 25 years. I got born again on Kenneth Copeland. I mean, a prosperity preacher. I've been listening to stuff on money since the day I got wrecked by Jesus. And this is the best. So anyway, if you're thinking like all of a sudden because I just did a commercial for it that, man, I wished I had some, I put 10 more out there on the free materials kiosk. So there's 10 more on the free materials kiosk. It's called Keep More Giving. And also while you're out there at the free materials kiosk, there's a bunch of books, there's a bunch of other stuff on all the things that pertain unto life and godliness. There's things on healing, there's things on wealth, there's things on your soul, there's things on all these things that we're going to be covering. And this is why we're getting into this particular series. There are gaggles of people in this room and associated with Beloved that have shattered souls. And I'm not okay with that. And I know we all try to cover it up with our smile and we, you know, and we don't look over here. Don't look behind the curtain. You know, it's the Wizard of Oz behind the curtain and we just see the awesome, cool Facebook pictures of you. Try to throw off the scent. But there are a lot of folks with shattered souls, with damaged souls, with issues in their soul. If you're breathing, there's something that's going on in your soul that probably shouldn't be. I'm not saying you're shattered. Not everybody's shattered. But everybody's got issues. Okay, all the people that said amen, you realize it. All the people that didn't, you're arrogant. We're going to go ahead and go with the series. So if you see we have a, I'm sorry, Ford or Dodge or whoever you are. I didn't pick the car because it was a make or a model. It's got SS on the... I actually believe that one day the Lord's going to give me a 1970 Chevy Camaro SS convertible. Not that that's why I picked. Actually, Jess picked. I didn't even pick this. Like Jess, if it's pretty around here and anointed and it looks good, it's Jess or Kay. Because I mean, if it's utilitarian and like it works, it could be me. It's most likely Ryan. I just do this part. The reason that I bless everyone the way that I bless them at the end of every service is because of this. This has been years and years. It's been working in my soul. Actually, one of the purposes for us founding Beloved Church is this. You didn't know it. It's been kind of like secretive or insidious, but I founded Beloved Church to get to people's souls. Amen. Not that I don't want folks born again. And we're going to have an option to do that today at the end of the service. If you've never had your spirit saved, then today you're going to have an opportunity. But I'm talking mostly to the people in the room that your spirit is saved, but your soul is not saved. And if you think that it is, that's the first problem. I don't know, brother. I came to see a soul saved. Well, you better hang around for the rest of your life. Because this is going to take a while. It's not going to happen. It's not going to be finished. It's not going to be a finished work in your soul until the day you draw your last human breath and you take on divinity. Which means every single body in this room, you've got growth opportunity. You've got maturity opportunity. You've got healing opportunity. You've got all of these opportunities that the grace of God is abounding towards you to accomplish. So what do you need to do? Submit to the grace of God and let the Lord do in your life what's going to be really incredible for you to experience. Or stay the way you are and hide behind your Facebook profile picture. Just so you know, like we all know. Like everybody knows that there's still issues. You can hide and lie and quiet. You know, Jesus said that anything that you put in the dark will be exposed to the light. And when you have a church that's filled with the Spirit, that's walking in truth, that's walking in light, like one of the things is like darkness is like a... It's like Sikkim to a bulldog. Like, darkness? Ah! Why is there darkness in you? I don't know. Back off. Sorry. Got to contain myself. That's what light wants to do. Light wants to rush into dark places. When God created the universe, like verse 3. Verse 3 of what? Verse 3. Genesis. Verse 3 was like God created light. You know that scientifically, God bless them, they're catching up one day. Scientifically, they've proven that the universe is expanding. Does everybody know that? They can measure the stretching, which it's hard to explain. But they know, scientifically, they have proven that the universe is expanding. Does anybody know at what speed? 386,000 miles a second. Which just happens to be the speed of light. When God spoke 6,000 years ago, let there be light. You know, light didn't stop letting it be. Right now, light is rushing at 386,000 miles a second into darkness. I'm saying this because if there's something in you and someone like lurches on you, give them some grace. Okay, let me say it this way. If there's something in you and I lurch on you, give me some grace, because it's just the light in me wanting to get into whatever's going on. I had some healing just this week. I know. Nobody really believes that because you all think I'm super crazy spiritual. But I had some healing this week and actually multiple places in my life. But anyway, I was out for a walk with Jesus. And I was walking around town, and I was kind of complaining. I know none of you do that. I'm way less spiritual than you. I was kind of complaining to the Lord about the fact that there's a lot of people in my life that I see things. I see stuff going on in people's lives, and I don't have any permission at all to deal with it. I have to watch people hurt. And I'm like, Lord, why did you grace me and anoint me and position me and call me to help people that don't want to help? And I don't know, some of you are parents. And this is the best I can correlate it. If you are watching your child in pain, that's what I experience like daily sometimes in seeing lives of those people that I know that God put me in people's lives. And you know, we don't want to hurt. People don't want to. One of the basic human instincts is like not hurt. You don't want to hurt, and so you'll want to shy away. And so, and I found myself, my solution has been slowly, and I didn't even know it until this week, my solution has just been getting callous to it. Because it hurts a bunch to watch people hurt, especially people that are your people, that God has called you to. And so I was talking to the Lord about the calluses, and he rebuked me for the calluses. I'm like, well, what do you want me to do? Just hurt? You know, one of the names of the Lord God is I am a jealous God. It's his name. He's jealous. It's his name. He's jealous. He's jealous for you. He's jealous for your affection, for your love, for your destiny, for power, for your joy, for your peace. He's jealous of it. If someone else gets it, it hurts him. I know people have an issue with God being hurt or whatever, but I'm just telling you that if God is love, there's no way that he can be love and things can be happening to you that it doesn't affect him. It affects him. He doesn't get depressed and oppressed and want to give up and get all whiny and complainy like I do. But it hurts. He's a jealous God. And this is how he kind of healed me in this, is he said, you know, I'm a jealous God. If you really are truly godly, and you're shepherding the flock the way that I'm a shepherd, you are going to be jealous about people's affection, about people's lives. So in other words, he kind of gave me permission to be a shepherd that feels. And what I want to feel, like not feeling like you're thinking, but feel like from the depths of my soul, what I want to feel, I want to rejoice with the victories and the successes and the amazing, wonderful things that happen in your life. I don't ever want anybody in here to experience any pain, any sickness, any poverty, any oppression, any depression. If you do, I hurt. If you don't, I rejoice. I want to rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice with you. At Beloved Church, I am the lead pastor. Which means in some ways, I'm in charge around here. You know, I could just determine that I'm going to do my destiny. I'm going to have my way. I'm going to run over all the carnage, over all the dead bodies that I got to get to my destiny. That's part of authority. That's one of the detriments to authority, is that you can do that, but I don't have permission to do that. The only way I'm ever going to truly have the fullness of my destiny is for you to have the fullness of your destiny. Amen. Which is why I'm so passionate about this. I know some people are just like, oh my God, you say destiny all the time. I know. Maybe one time it'll stick. On you. And we'll get to rejoice together. And there's a few people in here that you're there. Like you can see it. Like you're climbing a mountain and you can see the peak. And you know there's nothing like it. And there's a gaggle of folks that you're farther down the road than you've ever been. And some of you can even say that it's because of us. Do you know what that does? That's the point of this. I really want you to determine, like right off the bat, like, you know what, I'm going to get this. I'm going to get that. If you've been kind of peripheral in whatever we've been doing, all things beloved, then at least just humor me for this. Like, commit to this series. That you're going to let the Lord do some incredible things in your soul. Don't shy away from it. Listen, when the Lord heals, it doesn't hurt first. It's not like surgery where he's going to cut you open and tear and do all. The Lord can do these things. He can heal you without hurting you. Amen. Amen. There doesn't have to be any side effects to the gospels. There's all kinds of side effects to the pills of this world. The pills of this world will tend to kill you faster than whatever sickness or disease that you got. But the gospel has no side effect. It just has wonderful, amazing, awesome opportunities. In the King James, 3 John verse 2 says, Beloved, the King James says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in good health, even as thy soul prospers. And sometimes I quote it differently because that word wish But it's actually a really good translation because pray means that I'm praying God that this happens. I cannot pray that your soul gets healed. I cannot pray for you to have prosperity in your soul. I cannot pray that you have all these, that you have joy in your soul, peace in your soul. I can't pray that. I know a bunch of folks are like, wait a minute, I pray that all the time. Well, you're wrong. Amen. We're going to go ahead and start working on that soul thing. I just told you that you're wrong. We're going to see what happens. You're wrong. You can't pray those things. You can desire those things for people. The Lord desires it for people. The Lord actually desires it so much that He went to a cross and died to give it to you. So let me say this. Like, if the Lord desires it that much, that He died to get it to you, and you still don't have it, me praying ain't going to make it happen. You can't pray those things. It's like praying. You can't pray someone into salvation. You can pray for them to receive salvation. But you can't say, God, save them. He did. They're rejecting the salvation. It's not like God's going to say, well, you know, I was just going to let them go to hell, but I guess since you prayed, I'll go save them. He loves. There is nobody that you love more than Jesus loves. Your prayers don't move God. Your prayers move you to God. You don't change God's wills with your prayer. You align yourself with God's will with your prayer. Jesus taught us how to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. What's God's will? For His kingdom to come. Thy will be done. What's God's will? His will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Now you know exactly what God wants. God wants His will, His kingdom, in heaven to look like this earth. And so what He wants is for you to agree with that, for you to declare, for you to go out. That's why faith without works is dead. If you actually pray in faith, there's going to be action and works associated with it. If you don't, then you don't. God doesn't answer every prayer. He answers every prayer in faith. How do you pray in faith? You pray in the name of Jesus. What's name of Jesus mean? Well, you put Jesus on the end of your prayer. It's like abracadabra. No, it doesn't work that way. It's not a magic word that you put on the end of your prayer. When you pray in the name of Jesus, you're praying in the name, N-A-M-E. Name, nature, authority. I know everybody's like, okay. Nature, authority. E is you're praying in the excellence or the honor. And you're praying in the character of Jesus. So if you're not praying based upon those things, if you're not praying with His authority, if you're not praying with His will, if you're not praying with what He's determined at the cross, with His character, with it, then you're not praying in the name of Jesus. We're just complaining. Tends to be that way. It's not. We read the Psalms and we say, well, David complained and he got stuff done. You know, a lot of the things that you think are complaints weren't complaints. They were just David crying out and the Lord healed him. He wasn't trying to change God. He was trying to change him. Prayer doesn't change God. It changes you. Praise doesn't change God. It changes you. If you're not being changed in prayer, then you're not praying. If you're not being changed in praise, then you're not praising. If you're not being changed in worship, you're not worshiping. You're just going through the motions. Beloved, I wish. This word in the Greek, if you look it up, it's actually a compound word. It comes from the word, the root word for prayer. I think this is a slide, son. It comes from the root word of prayer and the root word of desire. So what it means is there's a godly desire. So in context, what this is saying is that John on the inside of them was motivated, like in a godly way. There was this deep godly desire on the inside of John for him to see his friend, his beloved friend, experience prosperity and health. It's not pray like, I ask God to give you prosperity and health and so therefore you get it. Ta-da! It's not pixie dust that gets sprinkled on you in prayer. There's this godly desire that motivated John to write it down so that his friend could read that John's greatest desire under the unction of the Spirit of God was for him to experience prosperity and health. We could say this, one of the greatest desires in God's heart for you is for you to experience prosperity and health. You know why the devil hates the prosperity and health gospel? He hates it so much that he'll have people in the church complain about those people in the church. Like infighting about prosperity and health. There's entire denominations that would curse me right now for saying what I just said. Entire denominations that would call me a false prophet and whatever they would say. Because I said God desires. I quoted a scripture that God desires for you to be prosperous and in good health. Their Bible must be different. God desires. And here's the thing, like, above all, that you, now obviously he's talking to the church, because what does he desire above all for folks that are outside? To be in. To be in. But I'm not talking to folks on the outside. If you're on the outside today, at the end of the service, you can come in. You can be in. But for all you folks that are in, he desires, above all, that you experience prosperity and divine health. He doesn't want you sick. He doesn't want you broke. He doesn't want you miserable. He doesn't want you oppressed. He doesn't want you depressed. If you are experiencing any of those things, it is anti-Christ's will. Anti-Christ's will. I know that doesn't just make it go away. In fact, for some of you, you might be like offended by that, making it worse. But the first step to ever having a problem solved in your life is acknowledging there's a problem. Okay, amen. I'm going to preach right here because it seems to be... Amen. If you ever want to solve a problem in your life, the first thing you need to do is acknowledge there's a problem. And this is not contrary to calling those things that be not as though they are. Has anybody ever read the Bible where God, like, you know, book of Revelation took multiple chapters to write to the church and say, you got a bunch of issues, and I'm going to pull your candlestick if you don't get them right. No, God is love. He's just going to say nice, fluffy things and pat us on the tushy. Bull. No. No, he's not. At least not the Jesus of the Bible. That's the Jesus that the world portrays. That's the political Jesus that they put out there, that he just basically floats from cloud to cloud just telling everybody it's, everything's going to be okay. Well, it's not going to all be okay. If you don't fix some things in your life, things will kill you. Things will kill your family. Things will kill your finances. Things will kill your brain. Things, all kinds of horrible, detestable, wretched, filthy, terrible things can happen to you or God. Or God. But if you don't agree with what he wants to do, if you don't hear what he wants to say, if you don't acknowledge there's some things that are out of alignment, how in the world can he help? I mean, we'll go to a doctor. I know nobody in here because we're all experiencing divine health, but some other crazy person will go to the doctor. What's the first thing the doctor says? Okay, what's wrong? Well, you're the doctor. You figure it out. You know what he'll say? Okay, we'll check you into the room. It's about $100 a minute. We'll both figure it out in time. while he's making $10,000 a day off of you, he'd be like, whenever you guys want to tell me what the problem is, I'll just go ahead and come and sell. We do Jesus that way. Well, Lord, you know the problems. You just, no. Jesus has sent solutions into your life. One of them is the name Steve.
Amen.
And I'm sorry. I know you prayed for something better. This is what you get. No, 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 no. Stop it. Because I know a bunch of folks don't believe. I can count on two hands the number of people that are actually truly that believe me to be their pastor. And we had almost 100 people in church last weekend. 10. That's quiet. Because we're not willing to yield that. We're Americans. We're not going to let someone lead us around. I'm not no sheep. I know. And if you're not a sheep, then you're not a sheep. It's not just to Steve, it's to Jesus. And Jesus only said there was two. There's a sheep that says, amen. Or there's goats that go, but. So if you're button, God desires, one of the deepest things that God desires, one of the greatest wills that He has for you is to experience prosperity and divine health. Here's the most important part of this. I used to read this verse for years and years and years and years, and I got it, God's will. You know, and you have to start there. You have to start with knowing it's God's will for you to be healthy and prosperous. You have to start there. But the way that Lord works that in your life is through your soul. Through your soul. This is deeply important. Because we're just waiting for things of God to just fall on us like ripe cherries out of a tree. Like Newton, it's going to be an apple that falls and hits you in the head and you're like, oh, gravity, I got it all figured out. No, it doesn't work that way. God works salvation to you through your soul. And we're about to do a little video here to explain the difference between, so many people are confused by this. You are saved. Those of you that have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, Jesus moved into your spirit. And His spirit and your spirit became one spirit, and your spirit was dead, and now your spirit's alive, and it looks just like Jesus, and you cannot be more saved than you are right now in your spirit. But your soul is not saved. It's being saved. We're going from faith to faith, from glory to glory. We're maturing. We're growing up in the Lord. We are developing. We're embracing godliness and rejecting ungodliness. The grace of God that brings salvation to all men has appeared, that's showing us that denying ungodliness, that teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and justly in this present world. That's Titus 2:10-11. That's the grace of God is moving into your soul to teach you, to train you, to raise you up in godliness and in righteousness and all these kind of things. You are righteous in your spirit. You're becoming righteous in your soul. And your body's along for the ride, y'all. This is just the horse you rode in on. This is like the car. The car has nothing until you get in it. If you ever get out of this car is dead. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. All this is just a coat that you're wearing for the next 60, 70, 80, 120 years, whatever, however long you're wearing this coat, you're wearing this coat. Now, does that mean that it's just going to fall apart and the sleeves come undone and all that kind of... No, you can exercise faith and you can affect change in your coat. But your coat is getting older. It's... You know, this gray hair, the Bible says, this is the glory of God. Nah, stop it. I set you up for... Never mind. The things that are changing, when you look in the mirror and you see a wrinkle or you see something that's changing in you, you know, don't get oppressed and depressed. Like, your body is fading. You can still exercise authority over it. You don't have to be sick. You know, this is what most people think. Well, how am I going to die if I don't get sick? You just go to sleep. The Bible actually doesn't say anything about any Christian ever dying. It actually just says Christians sleep. You don't have to be sick to sleep. Anybody know that? Some of you are sleeping now. God bless you.
That was pretty good.
Your body will be saved. Your soul is being saved. Your spirit has been saved. If you get that, if that's the only thing you take away from today, your life is going to be radically affected. Because that means you should press into salvation for your soul. The more your soul is healed, the more prosperity, the more health will flow into your natural circumstances. Many of you have the issues that you have, the problems, especially, let me say this, if it's been a long time, like same thing, long time, it's in your soul. It's not in your body, it's not in your history, it's not because your dad did something to you when you were five, it's not because you're black or you're white or you're educated or you're not, or you're fat or you're thin or you're ugly or you're not, none of those things, it's in your soul. Because for every single excuse that you're going to give me to give the devil territory in your soul, I'm going to show you 100 people. I'll give you names and phone numbers of 100 people that are fatter than you, that are thinner than you, that are less and more educated than you, that are blacker than you, that are whiter than you, that have grown up worse situations than you and better situations. I can give you hundreds of names of people that are incredibly victorious right now here today with circumstances 10,000 times worse than yours. And here's what the devil wants you to believe. He wants you to believe that your situation is unique. That nobody knows what you're going through, you poor little thing. Oh, you should just sit down and cry for a while. Because nobody knows what you're going through. I know. Jesus has no idea. Not even a little bit. He was just hanging on the cross, just experiencing the sunlight. Having a glorious day. In 1 Corinthians, this is what Paul wrote to. If you go through the scriptures, especially in the New Testament, you're going to find this over and over and over and over. This is what the point was. When Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, this is what the point was. This is the Amplified. It says that you are not falling behind or lacking in any special spiritual endowment or Christian grace. Now check this out in this brackets. The reception of which is due to the power of divine grace operating in your souls by the Holy Spirit. So he says, I don't want you to come behind in anything that God wants for your life. The way that's going to happen is by you allowing the grace of God to work in your soul. The more you allow the grace of God to work in your soul, the more you're going to experience, manifest. The less you let it work in your soul, the more oppressed and depressed you are, the more you're going to blame other people, the more you embrace victim mentality. If you're a victim, it's because you're not allowing the grace of God to work in your soul. Because you have given someone else the power and the control to affect your life more than Jesus Christ. That's what a victim is. A victim is a person that's allowed another person to affect their life more than the cross and Jesus Christ. So if you're sitting there, and you think, everything in my life is because of that person. And listen, even if you're a victim of the devil, that's still victim mentality. It can be a person or it can be the devil. If you have a victim mentality, you have just disempowered the Lord to be Lord. Man, that's so good. Praise God. We could stop there and I'd be done. So let's define real quick what prosperity and health is. So prosperity, according to Vines, W.E. Vine is a great theologian that wrote a bunch of stuff. Anyway, Vine defines it as, this is the revised version, as God has prospered him, and then also in the American version it says, in whatever he may be prospered, i.e. material things, the continuous tense suggests the successive circumstances of varying prosperity as weak follows weak. As weak follows weak. Today's Sunday, the first day of the week. God wants you to prosper this week and next week, next Sunday. He wants to kick the week off with another whole dump truck load of prosperity. It's successive. It means going up. If you can look at your life from last year to this year and it hasn't really changed a lot, then be honest. You haven't let the grace of God work in you the way it wants to. Amen. In material things, talking about physical. Now, this could be physical wealth, but this could also be emotional. This can also be relational. This form of prosperity is not just about specific activities that take place in financial realms. It does include that, but it's not limited to that. And we'll get to that eventually. The Helps Word Study says that it's a combination of two words, which is well and good, and a journey on a particular road. So if you look at this from the Greek, it's talking about a great journey. Or in other words, prosperity is not a destination. It's a walk. God wants you to walk in prosperity, not one day get to prosperity. Amen. Praise God. In dictionary.com, you don't hear your preacher say that very much. In dictionary.com, number one, a successful, flourishing, or thriving condition. Successful, flourishing, thriving. Especially in financial areas. Now, this is what the dictionary calls this stuff. Number two, prosperities, prosperous circumstances characterized by financial success or good fortune. You know, there's a difference between financial success and rich. Most people don't know that. They think that rich is financial success. I know a bunch of rich people that I wouldn't trade their money for their problems in a heartbeat. Jacked up people, jacked up relationships, jacked up souls, a mess in all their things, like marriages are skewed, I mean just kids, just, but they got money. Well, big whoop. Amen. Merriam-Webster says, auspicious or favorable, marked by success or economic well-being, enjoying vigorous and healthy growth. If your finances, if your emotions, if your relationships are not experiencing vigorous and flourishing growth, then you're not prospering the way the Bible wants you to prosper. You're not prospering the way the blood of Jesus Christ wants you to prosper. In Proverbs 10:22, we see that the Lord makes, there's a difference between being rich and prosperous. In the Lord's riches, there's no sorrow. In the world's riches, there's sorrow. If you are growing financially, according to God's will, Proverbs 10:22 says that you are going to grow in wealth, and it's not going to add sorrow. The world wants you to grow in wealth. You know the devil wants you rich? You ever think about it? The devil wants you rich. The reason he wants you rich is because he owns rich people way better than he owns poor people. Poor people tend to be like, well, I'm poor. I guess I'll just trust God. Rich people are like, man, I'm rich. I'll trust money. Which is why God's prosperity is so radically different than the devil's wealth. Man, you need to get this. I'm not going to spend a bunch of time there. So the next part of this is, as you prosper in your soul. As you prosper in your soul. So I've got a video here to define what your soul is. So Jess, if you will, play that video, please.
Spirit, soul, and body. which may not sound the most exciting thing to you on the surface, but to me, this is one of the most exciting things that the Lord has ever shown me. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now that is so obvious. We are made up of a spirit, soul, and body. And the body is very obvious. If you go look in a mirror, that's the part that you see. Now you would be speaking to my soul, which is my mental, emotional part. Some people define soul as your mind, will, and emotions, and I think that that certainly is true. I don't think that it's all inclusive. There's more to it. I believe that your conscience is a part of your soul. Your soul certainly includes your mental, emotional part. I believe it's what most people call their personality. If I was to touch your physical body, you can feel that. But I can also touch you by words, and it can touch your emotions. It can either make you glad or sad. It can make you angry. You can say words and hurt a person. So the body and the soul are two areas that every one of us are in touch with constantly. But the spirit part of us is a totally different matter. Jesus said this in John chapter 3 when he says, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit." And there is no direct connection between the two. You cannot in a physical, natural way feel your spirit. The spirit cannot be accessed in any natural way, and herein lies one of the great problems in the Christian life. The spirit is the part of us that God communicates with, and the spirit is the part of us that all of the life and the power of God flows through. In James chapter 2, verse 26, the scripture there says, "As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." And that just makes it very clear that the life-giving part of you is the spirit. One of the greatest keys to walking with the Lord for me has been to understand this reality of spirit, soul, and body, that the spirit realm cannot be seen or felt. The only way to discern what is spiritual truth is through the Bible, to just take it and believe it. Jesus said this in John chapter 6, verse 63. He says, "The flesh profits nothing." It's the spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." It's revealing to us spiritual reality. And if you want to know what your spirit is like, then you have to go to God's Word to find it out. You can't just go by an emotion, by some type of perception. You have to go to God's Word. Here's another passage of Scripture in James chapter 1, and in verse 23 it says, "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass." This is talking about a mirror. "For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty," talking about God's Word, specifically the revelation of the gospel, "and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." This passage of Scripture is likening the Bible unto a mirror that you look in to see your spiritual face, to see what you are in the Spirit. You, with your eyes, have never looked directly into your face. You've always looked at a reflection or a representation. But you've gotten to where you trust that. Well, the Word of God is a perfect reflection of what spiritual truth is.
Amen.
You can't sit there and say, "Well, I think that, you know, all my mascara is on and that my face is fixed, my hair is combed, and I'm ready to go." You can't go by how you feel. You have to go look in that mirror and then you trust what you see. Well, it's the same thing with the Word of God. The Word of God gives you a perfect picture of who you are in your spirit. And it's the only way. There is a total transformation that has taken place on the inside of every person who...
So, this is so very important because we want our souls to look like our spirit. Your spirit is completely healthy. Your spirit is completely wealthy. It's as wealthy as heaven itself. Your spirit is completely, totally, all the way righteous, all the way holy, all the way, anything that you can name that is a characteristic of God, your spirit has it because your spirit is born of God. But your soul still has a bunch of junk that you've carried with you in this life from all the things that people have done, from all the things that you have done, from all the thoughts, from all the problems, from all the issues. You've carried all this stuff. You've dumped it in the luggage of your soul. You're immediately born again in your spirit and you think that everything has to be automatically okay in your soul. No, this is why it says in Romans that you have to be renewed through learning things in your soul. The more renewed, new you come in your soul, the more you reflect the Spirit. You have to see the Word of God in order to make these things happen. So your soul needs to be saved. And for those of you that are thinking, no, my soul's already been saved. No, your soul has not been saved. When you go to the end of your life, when you stand before Jesus at the throne, and you are judged, He's going to ask you about your soul. Your spirit's been saved. There's nothing there. If you're arguing with that, I got a verse for you. Luke chapter 12, verse 20. Jesus said that your soul is going to be required of you. Jesus said this. If anybody knows about how things are supposed to end, Jesus does. Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. He didn't say your spirit, your soul. If you're born again, your spirit's been dealt with. Your soul is what God is requiring you to bring to Him every single day. This is what prayer is about. This is what devotions are about. This is what discipleship is about. This is what all the things of this Christian life is about. It's about your soul. So many times we come here and we make it all about our spirit. It is not about your spirit. It's about the Spirit working in your soul. A bunch of y'all are looking at me like a dog at a new dish. Hebrews 10:39. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Here's something really important. You're either going towards soul salvation, or you're going towards perdition, which means destruction. Your soul is either moving forward towards salvation, or your soul is moving back into destruction. There's no static. You're not just like, I'm good. I'm okay. There's no such thing. There is zero such thing. That's bad English, but it's good truth. You're not okay. You're either headed into God's will or you're heading out of God's will. No static. This is a moving stream. You're either floating down it because it's carrying you or you're paddling up it. 1 Peter 1:9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. This is the application of the faith that God has given us in our life. This is the purpose of it. It's to affect our soul realm. And we've got to get this. This is what this whole series is going to be about. It's about affecting change in your souls, your mind, your will, your emotions, and I know, even your personality. Well, don't come and try to change my personality. Look, if your personality, the nationality of your person, does not reflect perfectly Jesus Christ, then your personality needs to change. Don't think that you're cool without Jesus. There is no good thing that is in you except Christ Jesus. So if your personality, the nationality of your person, does not reflect the nationality of Jesus Christ, you need your personality changed. And again, it's not going to make you worse. It's going to make you a lot better. Okay. So if you're in this building today, and your spirit, just like Andrew talked about up there, your spirit has never been born again. You do not know for sure that your spirit has had the Spirit of God move in and make it a brand new spirit, then we would love for you to experience salvation in your spirit, because you will not advance in salvation of the soul until your spirit possesses it and then can release it. It's not going to come from anywhere else. It's going to come from your spirit into your soul. So if you want to see these things take place in your life, it starts with being born again of the Spirit in your spirit. So if that is you, I want to pray with you. So if you have never experienced this and you want to, I would like for you to raise your hand, because I want to pray with you right now. There is no other way to get this into your life. The world's going to offer all kinds of prosperity and health and all kinds of different ways, but there's only one way to get there. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Okay. So the next thing is, if you are going to be committed to letting God out of your spirit, which means you are going to be humble enough and submitted enough to allow the Spirit of God to affect your soul realm, then I want you to raise your hands and I'm going to pray with you. And you don't have to. If you want to stay the way you are, that's fine. God will love you either way. You won't necessarily have the things that God wants you to have in your life. But, I mean, a lot of people live without that. So I only want you to raise your hand if you really, truly want to release the godly things that He desires for you to have in your soul, in your finances, in your emotions, in your health, all, if you want the God part of that to get into the natural part of that, then I want you to raise your hand. And listen, don't be shy about this. Either own it or don't. No half a hands. You either want this or you don't. Like, you're not getting it from me anyway. You're talking to the Lord. If you don't want this stuff, that's fine. That's cool. You can come here and hang out with a bunch of people that are getting it. But I want you to have this. Again, remember, the pain of the heart of God is to get this into you. Father, you see the hearts and the hands. You see those that are responding in faith. And Father, I am not praying for them to experience prosperity and health. What I am praying is that they have the submission, that they have the humility, that they have the interaction with you day by day, minute by minute, to allow you to do supernatural things in their natural soul. As they raise their hand, your scriptures declare that which we commit to you, that you are faithful to accomplish it. And so as they commit their soul, right now these crazy people are offering you their soul. And they're acknowledging that there are some things in their soul that only you can fix. And we know that you're faithful to fix them. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. A bunch of y'all are going to be way different this week. Next Sunday, there's going to be some really powerful changes and testimonies in some people's lives. So please stand up. I want to bless you. This is going to be a great series. Amen. That Camaro is going to be... If I could have named it GT, I would have had a Mustang up there, but there's no way to name it GT, so it's a Camaro. All right, so hold out your heart by holding out your hands. This is you offering your soul. Like, this is an action. You're offering your soul. Beloved, those of you that are greatly loved of God, which is everybody, I have this godly will desire that you experience health in the divine quality and prosperity in the divine quality as you open up and allow your soul to be affected by the spiritual truths that are in Christ Jesus. I declare this over you in the name, the character, the authority, the nature, the honor of Jesus Christ. If you receive that, close your hands and say amen. 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 All right, God bless you. We'll see you next week.